Your attention to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 15. Hope you do have your Bible while you're turning there. I wish you'd pray. Tomorrow, my wife and I are going. I got an email several months ago from a young man that used to be in our youth department here, and haven't seen him in years and years and years. And he's given a couple of emails back and forth, but I answered one today. He said, I'm finally ready to get right with the Lord, and I want to know if you'll come to my house tomorrow. And so he gave me a time and his address, and so we're planning to go there. If you would, you pray that the Lord will just help, and that might have the opportunity. From what he said, I don't believe his wife is saved. So would you pray that maybe God would give us an open door to give a good, plain witness to this individual? And, man, I hope we'll see him in church on Sunday. His family used to come. He had his mom used to come, and he had, a brother and a sister. And they used to come. Like I say, the two guys were in the youth department. And I'm glad he remembered who loved him. Just glad he remembered who loved him, and glad he'll be, got in touch with me. All right, you're there in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15, look down at verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. I was talking to my son today, and I read that verse, and I said, I didn't realize that the Israelites, when they were wandering in the wilderness, got to Oklahoma. Because y'all do know there is a no water Oklahoma, right? So they found no water, and it was Oklahoma. All right, and probably they didn't get that far, all right? Verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. I want to speak to you tonight on some assurances for life. Some assurances for life. The people of God had, when we get to where we are here in verse 22, the people of God, the Israelites, had just experienced the great, if you will, deliverance from the Egyptian army. And, man, God had spared them, had taken them through the Red Sea on dry land. The water had caved back in, drowned the Egyptian army. And then they had celebrated that event, the first part of chapter 15, with a song of rejoicing. But it was now time to travel on, okay? Time to travel on. Look, life doesn't cease because you win one victory, okay? That's not the end. If you win one victory, that's not the end of the battle, all right? We're not to spend too long in life enjoying the past victories, the past blessings. Man, I don't know about you. I appreciate the past blessings, but I want some tomorrow, don't you? I want God to keep blessing, all right? You see, there's a need for us to keep moving forward. So God had Moses take the children of Israel. He had them move forward. They moved because there were more victories to win. There was more land to be conquered. There was more for them to cover, more for them to do. And because we can't get to the place we get complacent and get content with where we are right now, all right? There's that temptation for us to do that. We get happy where we are right now and say, "This is all I want. This is it," all right? But we don't need to do that. We're to keep pressing on the upward way, all right? We're to keep pressing on the upward way. We're to keep gaining new heights every day. So that's what was going on here, all right? That is what was going on here. God had them move. Moses let them out. The Bible said they went through the wilderness. And you can rest assured, problems will come. Problems will come. Now, if you came expecting to hear a message, you know, like the fellow down in Houston always gives, can't do that, because the truth of the matter is you can rest assured problems are going to come in life. They're going to take place. That happened here, all right? Notice, immediately the Bible said they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And found no water. Could I just say to you, that's a big problem. Big problem. I mean, here they are. All the problems in life, now we're going to have them. They don't necessarily all going to be these big problems, all right? Not going to be as big a problem as this was. The Israelites, they could carry some water. I'm sure they did carry some water. But they couldn't carry enough for all the livestock and all the people that they had. And 3 days after 3 days and no water, I'm sure the livestock were protesting, you know. And they were a little bit upset about it. And, you know, hey, water's pretty important. Water's pretty important. Truth of the matter is, we can do without food a lot longer than we can do without water. We can do without food just a whole lot longer than we can do without water. Well, that was the situation in that day. But I want you to see this. Not only can you rest assured that problems will come, but I'll be honest with you, problems usually show up pretty quick. They show up pretty quick, especially after you've hit a great spiritual high. It just seems like there's always, pretty quickly, a problem. Hey, in truth, each and every day can bring its own set of problems. Each day can. All right? Maybe you got today's problems conquered, and you're looking forward to stretching out in the bed and saying, hallelujah, problems are all solved. What a blessing. But there's a good chance some more show up tomorrow, all right? Some of you saying, I just wish I could get rid of half of mine today, you know, all right? There we are. We have those problems, all right? Hey, I want you to see this too, because I want to point it out, because a lot of people misunderstand. I want you to see this. Problems came even when they were living in obedience to God. Amen. All right? Problems came even when they were living in obedience to God. They were doing right. They were where they were supposed to be. This was the route that God had planned out for them to take. They were following Moses as Moses followed God. But I'll tell you, problems still came. Problems still came. You see, obedience does not exempt us from having problems. Now, don't lose your place, but go to Psalms, the 34th Psalm, would you? We need to remember this. Psalm 34, obedience does not exempt us from ever having any problems. Don't get the idea, well, I'm going to obey God. As long as I obey God, I'll have no problem. But look, if you will, Psalm 34, look at verse 19. See that first word? Many. Now notice what it says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. If you were counting on, well, if I'll do right, I'll be spared and won't have any problems. Well, you'll have some afflictions, okay? Matter of fact, you'll have a lot of them. The Bible said the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What a blessing and a promise that is. But sometimes we can't get past that first part of that verse. Hey, preacher, you mean if I do right, do what I should, and it's not going to help, I'm still going to have problems? Yes, you're still going to have problems. Because your problems, my problems, they're not just a result of sin. They're not just a result of disobedience. There's other things. Bring them on, okay? But I want you to see this. They had a problem. Verse 22 said 3 days, no water. Then in verse 23 back there in Exodus 15, look if you would there. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah. Hey, it went from bad to worse. Problem got worse before it got better. Think about it. You've been 3 days with no water. Look, we've all seen the old Western TV show. Well, most of us have. Maybe not everybody, where, you know, they're driving the cattle and it's dusty and everybody's, you know, got their bandana up over their nose fighting the dust and the cattle are bawling and they've been talking about no water, and it shows them, you know, they open the spigot on their water drum and no water came out. It was empty and there they are, and they just keep going on and on, and you're sitting there in your living room and your mouth's getting dry watching it, all right? I mean, there you are, we're going through it, and then all of a sudden the cattle's ears kind of prick up and their pace quickens, and maybe the trail boss says, don't try to hold them back, get out of the way, because they've smelled water, right? Hey, here they are 3 days in the wilderness, no water. Then they get to the place where, hey, there's water. There's water ahead. Man, can you imagine the excitement that went through them and the thrill and the very idea of, finally, boy, here's what we need. This is what we've been looking for. And the first person bends down, maybe scoops a handful up or leans down and gets a mouthful. And, man, he gets up and he spits it out and he said, it's not fit to drink. Not any good, it's bitter. And so bitter, it's no good. Boy, how much, it was bad, now it's worse. We've got water and we can stare at it, but we can't drink it. Can't drink what we're looking at. It's like sitting at the table, waiting on everybody to get there. But you've already got your plate there. And you want to take a bite so bad, but you can't because you're waiting on that last one. Hey, it makes it worse, all right? Well, can't help but think this reminds us that, like sin, this water seems so promising. But it can make great promises, but when you get right down to it, it can't deliver on what it's promised. It works out to a bitter end. Hey, what am I saying? I'm saying this. Rest assured, problems are going to come in life. I don't care who you are or where you live, problems are going to come in life. But I want you to see this. Rest assured, people will react in the wrong way. In the wrong way. Look at verse 24. The Bible said, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What shall we drink? The people murmured. The first reaction of these people was to murmur. Hey, wait a minute. It had only been three days that they were back there singing and rejoicing over the great victory God had wrought on their behalf and what they had seen God do. 3 days later, griping, complaining, murmuring, there we are. But isn't that like us? Isn't that like human beings? Hey, complaining and griping comes real easy to folks, even today. We're good at it. We can gripe. Oh, my soul. We can just gripe about everything. Doesn't matter what it is, we do it. And it, like I say, comes quickly. I think about Christians today. We can sound pretty good when the situation's good, but when the trials come along, they soon start to complain. That's when the complaining begins. Hey, as long as it's smooth sailing, everything's going well, no problem. No problem. I think about a lot of people in a lot of situations. I usually, if I sit down and somebody asks me to perform their wedding, one of the things I sat down and talked to him about is finances. And I said, because right now you're in love and you don't need anything else. You're just happy, happy as you can be. You only need one chair because y'all both sat in the same chair, right? I mean, life's wonderful. It's grand. It's glorious. We won't need anything. We got plenty. We'll make it out all right. Yeah, but you get married and the trials come. And it's amazing sometimes how soon people start to gripe about things. They gripe about things they'd never griped about before. But there's a trial they're going through. Christians, same way. As long as it's smooth sailing, boy, everything's great, you know. Living for God's wonderful. It's great to be on, you know, a Christian. It's a grand good thing to be a Christian. But when the trials come, we start to murmur. We start to complain. Start to gripe. And we can do a marvelous job at it, all right. But I want you to notice again, look back at verse 24, would you? The Bible said they murmured against Moses. What in the world did he do? Can I just tell you, I don't think it's Moses' fault there was no water for those 3 days. And I'm pretty sure Moses hadn't ran ahead of the whole group and got to Marah and said, we're going to put something in here so this water is not drinkable. But yet they griped against Moses. That's who it was. Their complaint was against him. He had nothing to do with the problem. As a matter of fact, he was going to be the one that God was going to use to help solve the problem and fix the problem. But they're already griping against him. Hey, but that's like people today. We murmur and we complain against whoever's handy. We can always find somebody. A lot of people complain about God. We complain to God and complain about God. When it's not God, God didn't do it. God didn't create that problem. God's not the problem. But boy, people complain against him. And you hear people say, well, why did God? Wait a minute. Let me say God did it. Why are we always pointed at him? Hey, rest assured, problems are going to come. Hey, rest assured, people are going to react the wrong way. But can I say this to you? Rest assured, help's available. Amen. Help is available. Let me remind you, problems come for a lot of reasons. Sometimes they come because of our own actions. We bring problems on ourselves. All right, because of what we do or because of what we don't do, we bring problems upon ourselves. And it just causes it to erupt. We can't say, well, hey, I don't think they ought to repossess my car. Well, did you pay the payments? Well, no. Well, did you say you would? Well, sure. Well, what do you mean they shouldn't? It's not, hey, that problem is not a problem somebody else caused. You caused that problem, okay? It's our actions, okay? Hey, some problems are just part of life. Some problems are just part of life. You own an automobile, you're going to have problems. It's just going to happen, okay? It's just going to happen. So I said, no, here's my plan. I'm going to handle it, so as soon as the warranty runs out, I'll swap it out. I don't care. It doesn't mean you won't have problems. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean that that car can't quit at the weirdest time and in the weirdest place. Just, I mean, there it is. Just stop. You can have problems. Some problems are just part of life. And by the way, sometimes God sends us some problems. God sends us some problems, all right? When he does, it's for our good. It's for our good. Sometimes he sends those. Problems are permitted in our lives to reveal the magnitude of God's help, to show you how much he can do. There's a song that part of the words say, if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. If I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. Hey, we live in a time, you know. We've got big problems. Okay, we have big problems so we can see we've got a mighty God that can help us. He's able. He's able. Those three Hebrews looking at the fiery furnace, they said, our God's able. Our God's able to protect us and get us through that. He's able to do it. He can. Hey, sometimes God gives us little problems. I think sometimes God gives us little problems just to show us, you know what, he's concerned about the little things of life too. not just the things we look at and think, well, it's just that big stuff. No. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. It can be big, it can be little. We just need to learn to take it to Jesus Christ in prayer, and He's able. Hey, there is a right response to our problems. Moses shows us that in verse 25. Notice what Moses did, man. Verse 25, the people in verse 24 murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. Moses knew what to do. He said, "Let's go find out. Let's go find out what we're going to do." He cried unto the Lord. Hey, anybody can murmur. Anybody can complain. But the trusting child of God knows how to turn to Him in prayer and come to the one that's got the answer and say, "Lord, I need your help. Need your help. I need you to show me what to do." Oh, we live in a day of great technology. Hey, we don't need to have to go to God. We can ask, what's that, on the computer, you know. Siri, you can ask Siri. I want to say Elsa. It's not Elsa. Elsa's the cow with Borden's. Huh? Alexa, all right. That's why I never get an answer when I talk. I'm asking Elsa. I'm supposed to be asking Alexa, I guess, okay? Hey, we live in a day, though, where we think that's it. Somebody, I said, "Well, how'd you know how to do that?" YouTube. Amen. We go to YouTube for everything. Hey, we've got technology. We don't need God. I want to tell you what. There's no greater way to solve difficulties than to call upon God for help. Amen. I got news for you. There's some things Alexa, Elsa, or Siri can't help, all right? None of them, they don't have the answer. They're not going to be able to do it. You can go to YouTube, and it's going to be a blank video. Because there's some things, man, you need God's help, and He's the one you ought to go to. Amen. I know some, maybe you sit there and say, "Preacher, how do we do it? How do we go to God, and how does He answer?" Well, I'm going to tell you, you learn to pray. You learn to pray. You say, "Well, how do I do that?" Well, how did you talk to your dad and your mom when you were a kid and you wanted something? How'd you talk to them? You didn't go, "Almighty Dad, wonder of wonders, stronger than all the dads in the world." You didn't go to Dad like that asking for help. No, you just said, "Hey, look, Dad, could you help me? I need this, what I need." Hey, that's how you pray. That's how you pray. Now, I've heard people pray that I marveled. I marveled at their prayer. I mean, I'll be honest. But I've also heard old Brother John Bishop pray. Brother Bishop's the guy that started the youth camp where our kids are right now, Triple S. But he had meningitis. And boy, it just totally changed me. He had to learn to do everything over again. And when he talks, it's like listening to maybe a 4 or 5 year old talk. Or it's like listening to somebody that usually speaks another language, but they're trying to speak English. Your old brother Bishop pray, God, I not be mad at you for what happened to me. I not be mad at you. I'll tell you, I heard him pray. And I thought, oh, dear God, if we could all just learn to pray. And I don't mean have to pray in broken English. But just learn to go to God and say, "Lord, here's what I need. I need your help. Lord, this is what I need. I need some water." These people, the Israelites, they needed water. We could just learn to go ask for water. If we could just learn to go ask God. Come to Him and say, "Here I am, Lord. I don't know anywhere else to go. And I need your help. I need your help." Need to learn to pray. Need to learn to pray. You say, "Well, preacher, after you pray like that, how does God answer? Will He answer in an audible voice?" No. No. To be honest with you, I don't know how He'll answer. Because He answers in a lot of different ways. Sometimes you pray and ask for something and God will send another Christian with the help you need. God will do that.
Right.
He can do that. Sometimes, you know, sometimes he'll help you to figure it out.
Right.
He'll help you to see. Notice what happened here. Now remember, by the way, I'll let you know, the children of Israel, there's more than 1 million people probably. Every estimate I've ever heard talking about the children of Israel in the Exodus, over 1 million people, thousands and thousands of cattle.
Right.
Here they are. They needed water. They needed water. One spigot would have made it a little tough, okay?
Right.
They needed water. And Moses, in verse 25, cried unto the Lord.
Amen.
And notice, and the Lord showed him a tree,
right,
which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Notice the Bible said the Lord showed him a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. He said, how did that happen? I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what went on. But he showed him a tree, and he said, that right there. The answer to the problem was right there. It was nearby. But the problem was they couldn't see it. They didn't realize this is the answer to what we need.
Right.
Hey, can I say this to you? That illustrates for you and me how dependent we are upon God to help us see what we need to see.
Right.
We sometimes blame God. The problem's not God, it's our poor vision. Not his lack of ability, not his lack of provision. We just haven't seen it yet, all right? We might get to that point where we do, and we hear people say, preacher, I just don't see a way out of this. But there is. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean that way is not there. No, there is a way out. There is a way out. If we'll go to God, all right, he can show us that way out. Man, with Moses, I'm sure Moses cried unto the Lord, Lord, we need something. This water's not fit to drink. I need help. And some way or another, God impressed upon Moses, Moses, see that tree right there? Chop that rascal down, throw it in the water. Throw it in the water. What a blessing it was that tree was right there.
Right.
It wasn't somewhere on the other side of the wilderness they were in.
Right.
It wasn't 3 days' journey in another direction.
Right.
All right? It was right there. It was close. Take your Bible. Go to Psalms again, would you? Go to Psalm chapter 46. You see the truth of the Word of God. Look, we miss things because we don't look the right direction, all right? Psalm 46, look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see that word present? A very present help. Man, this situation over here in Exodus is a marvelous illustration of that fact right there. He is a very present help in time of trouble. He was right there when Moses needed him. Moses called out to God. He said, Lord, I need some help. And God said, there's the help you need right there. Just take that tree, cut it down, throw it in the water, it'll take care of it. Hey, maybe all you and I need to do is just listen a little closer to the man of God when he delivers the message of God.
Amen.
And we'll say that one more time. Maybe all we need to do is listen a little closer to the man of God when he delivers the message of God.
Right.
Hey, if you come to church around here, you hear a lot of preaching. Amen. If you'll come during the revival, there's extra opportunity to hear preaching. And every sermon, you're not going to go, well, Lord, I got to go forward tonight because this is for me, man. He nailed me right there, skinned my hide, and I've got to go repent. Every sermon's not going to do that. Sometimes what you have to do is kind of file them away. You got to hang on to them. You got to remember what was preached. You might not need it right now. You might not need it the next week. Hey, it could be months down the road. But when that time comes, you've got it. You've got it. Now, wait a minute. Don't misunderstand me. Not because of the brilliance of the preacher, but because of the Word of God that's preached. Because of the Word of God that's preached. We hear what we're going to need, and we need to have it there. Store it up. Be ready. And you can rest assured trouble's going to come. There, you're going to have problems. It's life is made up of them. You may be experiencing some of them right now. Be careful when they come that you don't react wrong. Be careful that you don't react wrong. Don't try to point the finger of blame at somebody. Well, if you hadn't have, I'd have never. Wait a minute. Don't point the finger of blame. Don't react wrong. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't gripe. Don't blame somebody. Hey, learn to go to God. Learn to go to God. Say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Now, let me say this to you. You ought to be praying all along. A lot of times if you be praying all along, you won't get into so many problems. All right? But remember, when the problem comes, go to Him. Go to Him. By the way, don't just say, now, Lord, you're just going to have to solve this. No. The Lord may not be ready to solve it, but He can help you solve it. He can help you solve it. Don't put it all on Him. But learn to go to Him. Learn to ask for that help. Learn to seek His face. To seek His wisdom. You're going to have the problems. Rest assured, though, help's available. Would you bow your head tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hey, let me ask you tonight. Are you facing some problems? Are you facing some problems? Hey, the best thing to do is take them to the Lord. Go to Him and ask for His help. Go to Him. And then be attentive so you know when He's pointing the answer for you. Would you do that? Don't just walk and think, well, later on. No. Would you just give Him that opportunity to help you? Maybe tonight you need to come. You need to spend a little time at the altar. I want to give you that time. I want to give you that time. If you do, man, we're going to pray, and the instruments will play. Would you just take the time that you need? Heavenly Father, I pray now You'd help us. Lord, life's beset with problems. Sometimes we cause them. Sometimes they're just life brings them about. And Lord, sometimes You send them our way so that we can find out what a great God we serve as we let You help us find the answer. Lord, maybe somebody's dealing with an issue tonight. They need to come. Would You help them to come? We'll just take just a few moments, give them that opportunity. With every head bowed and every eye closed as the instruments play, hey, if you need to come, you come. Don't wait, you come. We'll wait just a minute or two. Would you stand together with us tonight? Can't help but think about a great old gospel song I know. It says, oh, the answer's on the way, this I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. My Heavenly Father, knows your need before you pray, you can rest assured the answer's on the way. And it is. It is. Just keep coming to Him, would you? Just keep coming to Him. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house tonight. Lord, help us to have a good week and use the rest of it wisely. Bring us together on Sunday that we might rejoice around the world.